forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense, common knowledge, or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do, but only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Well, hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast, the Good Question Podcast. My guest today is Annie Chen. She's an author and also a marriage and family therapist. So she's recently written a book called I Want to Connect, Rewire Your Nervous System for Stress, Resilience, and Secure Attachment. And again, her normal practice is a licensed marriage and family therapist. So we're going to talk about those two things. So welcome, Annie. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, tell me a bit about your background. What led you to become a family therapist? And then to, you know, we'll get into the book and all that stuff after that.
Yeah. What led me to be a family therapist or a therapist in general? I think, you know, a lot of us in the profession have this experience of being wounded healers. So, you know, I think in my own life, certainly growing up, I experienced a lot of challenges that created difficulties for me in adulthood. So with regulation, with, you know, making poor decisions in my own life, with relationships. And so I went through all of this and decided that I wanted to find some better ways to live life. And so that led me to a lot more introspection, you know, and then down the career path of being a therapist.
Okay. And what prompted you to write your book?
Yeah. So the book, I want to take a little bit of a step back and say that, you know, one of the things that we know in our study of psychology, of childhood development, of the brain, really, is that relationships are really important for our quality of experience in this life. And, you know, the jury's in on that one, that it's one of the core pillars of our well-being, really. So I know you've talked to a lot of people. And so would you agree with that, Richard?
Well, I mean, give it a little bit more context if you can, and then it'll be a bit easier. Yeah, just give it a bit more detail.
Yeah, certainly. To cite, you know, some of the studies we have on this, like there's Harvard's long-term, I think like 80 plus year longitudinal study on happiness that shows that, you know, if you have positive, supportive relationships, that's the best indicator of whether you're going to be happy and healthy later in life. And there's also the numerous studies about the detrimental effects of isolation and loneliness, including the ones that kind of came out of the COVID lockdown era. And, you know, we know from attachment science that relationships are, you know, just largely what organize our early development. And that's super important in childhood, but also continues to be important, you know, as I mentioned, throughout life. I know you all had a guest a few shows back who talked about schizophrenia. And, you know, I think what he said was what the main contributors are sleep and connection, right? Whether people feel connected. And so that's what I mean when I say relationships are like a core pillar of wellness in our life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, if you have no one to share your victories or troubles with, then it's terrible. I've heard that the average person, from what I understand, you know, maybe 20 years ago, had an average of maybe 3 to 5 people that they considered close enough to tell, you know, really important deep things to. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard now, 0. Mm-hmm. So what I've heard, loneliness is like just exploded. I know anxiety has exploded, depression. And, you know, especially since, you know, the whole COVID thing, everyone's a mess mentally. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you've observed, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it affected me for sure. So, okay. So,
what about your patients? Are you noticing like a change in people over the years? Or, you know, what do you see?
People were definitely affected by that lockdown era. And yes, so exacerbated mental health conditions, more problems, you know, in people's relationships if they weren't already strong in certain ways to begin with. Because I work with a lot of couples. And so that's who I see a lot. And, you know, the COVID era was kind of like a make it or break it type of era for a lot of couples.
Well, again, what do you see has changed in people? Do you think they're more anxious, or, I mean, they just have different issues, or, you know, what's different in couples that you talk to now versus, let's say, 2019 or something?
I think my sample size, Richard, is that I always see anxious people, right? In my practice. So I don't know if I can step back and really, I don't have a societal view or like a public health view on that. But the studies that you're referring to, I've seen, and certainly, you know, yeah, loneliness, isolation, these are huge, huge factors as that make up our well-being, our mental well-being, our physical well-being, actually health, and certainly our happiness, our quality of life. And so I just wanted to kind of establish that as a baseline. You know, do we all see the same thing here, right? Just from the different perspectives that we're coming from.
So what is your book about? What are you hoping to achieve with this publication?
So, you know, because if we say relationships are this really important cornerstone for wellness, when people come to me there, it's because there's usually a breakdown in the connection in their marriages and their relationships, and they're looking to get that fixed, or they're having certain problems, you know, experiencing stress in their life that they're hoping to get better. And so as a professional, I spend a lot of time working with people and also studying, how does this work? You know, how does this work in the brain? How do we help people overcome trauma so that they can live more satisfying lives? How can we help people with improving their relationship skills so that they can have better relationships, you know, with their partners, with their families, with their kids, with their friends? And so, yeah, that being my work, this book is, I've been writing books, you know, my first book was on attachment theory, which is pretty much just like a way for people to measure, you know, how their relationships are and how they're doing in relationships. And so this book, I Want to Connect, is sort of a follow-up on that. And it provides, you know, a deeper dive into how to improve relationships using an understanding of our nervous system, and also has a number of like really actionable, practical skills and exercises for people to practice so that they can, yeah, continue to improve their relationships, their stress resilience, and their lives.
All right. So what are some of the issues that people come to you with?
Yeah. So they come to me because they have unresolved trauma from, you know, their childhood. And that may look like just, and they may not know that, that may not be the wording that they come with, but oftentimes that is the underlying issue. But on the surface, they may just be having trouble, you know, relating well or communicating with their partners. They may just find themselves having, you know, in their relationships just feel really stressful to them. And so they avoid it, or they kind of anxiously sort of spin in their relationships and becomes too chaotic. And yeah, or any other number of things in their life may be stressful.
I don't understand. Does that mean they're stressed, so therefore their relationship suffers, or they can't be in a relationship? Or like what is the, you know, what are some specifics, maybe without naming names, of some things that you've seen that are common?
Yeah. So I want to step back and just say that what we know about attachment and the science around attachment is that those early years and the kind of emotional support you got or didn't get from generally parents or caretakers has a really profound effect on how you may experience stress later in life, and how you experience relationships later in life. So when you didn't get that really strong attachment foundation, what it leads to is a lot of kind of insecure relating, but also just, you know, trouble with stress. And also you experience relationships as more stressful than others who got that really strong attachment foundation. And that may lead to like, okay, you're, you know, finding that arguments are really common in your relationship, or you find that it's hard for you to trust people, or that, you know, there's certain issues in your relationship that you really, you know, should be dealing with, but you find it hard to come to the table or bring them up. And so with that set of things, relationships become a source of stress rather than what we want to see is a stress of you know, anti-stress, a support of kind of a respite in this world.
Okay. So yeah, Annie, tell me what's a, you know, as specific as possible without naming names or anything, but what's a very common scenario you see within a, you know, a marriage? And do you see them at the beginning of the marriage, at the end of the marriage, after many years, or, you know, if there's problems, do they happen early on? Like what's a very common scenario you see?
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on Support Us. We have three levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click Support Us today. Now back to the show.
Yeah, so a really common scenario is where a couple will come to me and they'll be having a lot of fights. And that will generally look like, you know, they sometimes they can't even remember what the fights are about, but they know that this is a cyclical thing and that, you know, it's very stressful. So what it comes down to that they're often just getting triggered by one another. So there's like something that somebody will say that will kind of trigger their sense of, wait, I'm not wanted here, right? Or it'll trigger their sense of like, I'm not good enough, right? And they'll just start keep doing this to each other without really even knowing it or without knowing how to do something about it. Because at the point of getting triggered, they're both in, you know, what we might call their lizard brains. These sort of fight or flight, very stress responses have taken over and they're not really able to process or connect with one another or feel safe with one another again, right? And so this is how it goes. And if this happens often enough without like really effective repair, then it really starts to degrade the relationship and erode trust and security in the relationship because it just keeps happening. And it's like a bad experience. And I start to, you know, if I'm in this relationship, I start to associate with this like this bad, unsafe experience that I'm having, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So we start there. And then if we're talking about doing therapy, then we, you know, one of the things we can do is start to really kind of like use an understanding of the nervous system and what's happening and why it's happening to educate the partners. And then I help them find new ways of communicating and of, you know, experimenting so that they can find safety with one another again, so that they can know, okay, when this happens, how do we take control of it rather than just let it play out and feel terrible, right? And so these are the kind of issues that I work on with folks who are in relationships and finding, okay, this like breakdown is happening.
When do you see this happen in a, let's say in a marriage? Just, you know, if there's problems, do they happen in the early part or later? Or is there really no, I don't know, common time when things blow up?
Yeah, I mean, this can happen certainly in the earlier parts of a relationship where people start to, you know, learn like, oh, that really triggers me. That really triggers me. And then they're sort of off to the races. And it's hard to even experience those like early, you know, honeymoon stages, because they're fighting all the time. And it can certainly happen, you know, well into a marriage when they've tried to kind of manage these things and have done an okay job. But at some point, you know, because they had kids, because the stress of COVID or something else, it just really gets to them and it topples them over the edge and over their boiling point. And now they're, you know, in this state of getting triggered by one another and having these terrible fights.
Okay. Any other very common scenarios? Maybe one more that you just see a lot, maybe, you know, especially recently, let's say the past couple of years, you know, you've been doing this for a while. Maybe years ago, you just didn't see this very much. And now there's a, you know, a surge in XYZ. If so, what is that? Well, one way to put it is, how long have you been a therapist now for?
15 years.
Okay. So what were people like 15 years ago versus today? That might be an easier way to think about it. Like, have they changed at all? Has their situations changed? Has their reaction to your therapy changed? Or is it, it's been pretty consistent for the 15 years?
Yeah, honestly, Richard, these issues have been universal for, you know, at least as long as I've been practicing. I think that the issue of, okay, when two partners in a couple get triggered by one another, and the thing that, you know, let's say, for example, when, you know, when you criticize me, you know, I can't feel safe because of my conditioning, my childhood conditioning. And so I pull away, right? I withdraw, I retreat. And then for the other person, they might have the trigger where, oh, when somebody pulls away and retreats from me, they feel very unsafe and triggered and go into various stress states. So this kind of like complementary getting triggered by one another is really the biggest issue, I would say, that we look at in as therapists. And it's sometimes, you know, I would say it's the hardest one and sort of like the holy grail. How do we help people with this? So, yeah. And so that hasn't changed with COVID, that, you know, there may be different, let's say, thresholds for which how much stress, you know, is getting people to that point. But I would say that is pretty universal is, yeah, dealing with, you know, the underlying stress that people experience in relationships and how they respond to each other.
It is armchair analysis, but it seems like when people get to their 40s, all of a sudden, and, you know, it's through personal experience, stuff from the past seems to just come back up. It's weird. I've noticed that with you know, a lot of people I know, and maybe that's why, like, the you know, the famous midlife crisis happens then. But have you noticed that, again, there's an age that people reach where, you know, the past comes back to bite them if they haven't dealt with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is definitely something that I've seen is, you know, people, I think there's just a sort of like cumulative effect with stress where at some point, you know, you can't really hold it at bay anymore. Even if you've kind of had like a traumatic thing happen in your childhood, but, you know, you overcame it, but you overcame it by kind of like working harder or avoiding certain things, right? But that stress is still there. Like it's not resolved. And so as you experience other things in life and just kind of develop and grow and the brain continues to, you know, have its upgrades in midlife, then yeah, those things become harder to kind of like suppress. And so I think that does happen is people start, you know, having a different kind of emotional experience with each other. And so, yeah, a lot of those issues will start to peek through.
Okay. You know, you do your therapy, but what was the purpose of the book? Is there certain things that you're using the book to help prepare people for therapy? Or, again, if they can't afford therapy, they can do it on their own with amongst themselves. Like, what is the reason for the book?
Yeah, so not everybody can make it to the therapy. And also, I think it's helpful for people to have workbooks in particular. So my book is a workbook. And so there's these practical tools and exercises that people can work through on their own to really understand and learn about themselves more. The reason for the book is that it's a resource. So given that, you know, we know that relationships are so important, and yet there's really not enough resources for us to kind of like take control of, you know, how relationships go. And so, yes, therapy is a tool, but since not everybody can make it to therapy, then there are, you know, books, there are other resources that people can take advantage of that can help them along their way. Because when it comes to strengthening your attachment foundation, because you want to, you know, relationships to be less stressful, you want to have a better relationship with your adult kids, you want to go from an insecure attachment style to a secure one, then it's really a developmental journey. And so it's not one thing that's just going to kind of flip the switch and change, make those changes that you want to see. It's going to be, you know, really kind of getting in there, figuring it out, practicing things that are new strategies and tools, figuring out how your body works and how your nervous system works so that you understand your stress better, and just really going on that learning journey.
Okay. Where are you able to help people? Is it nationwide or just locally to you? And if so, where is that?
Yeah, I have an office in Berkeley, California, where I work with couples. I also offer relationship skills like coaching and also individual therapy to kind of people outside of my office. But the therapy, the individual therapy that I do is still restricted by my licensure to California residents. But then the relationship skills coaching is available to anybody.
Okay, well, very good. Your book, has it been published or is it just about to be? And is it available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that? Like, where can people get it?
Yeah, it's going to be available to be shipped on May 14th. And now people can pre-order it all over Amazon, any of the online retailers.
Okay. And then again, for people that want to come see you, how would they get in touch with your clinic? Where can they go?
So they can check out my website, anniechen.net, and see if, you know, my services might be right for them. And there's also going to be resources on that website too.
Okay. So it's just A-N-N-I-E and then C-H-E-N?
Yes, correct.
Okay, NHN.net. Got it. Excellent. Well, Annie, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at FindingGeniusPodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.